I am interviewing Dr. J.C. Clements, who was company doctor in Davao beginning about 1935. Today's date is June 12, 1985. Mr. Fenner Roth is at the interview as well. Okay, Dr. Clements, would you start by telling us when you were born and where?
I was born in Greenville, Texas in 1902.
Okay. And what type of education did you have?
I started in the kindergarten and lower grades in the DeCourcy Sisters private school in Amarillo, Texas. And then after we moved from Amarillo, we went to Oakley Union, Texas. And I went to the grade school there for 2 or 3 years. And then before I finished high school, I went to Decatur Baptist College and was there for some 3 years. While there, I was working my way through school by tending the heating plant for the three buildings, tended to the steam heat, electricity and stuff, to working my way through school. And then after I left there, I went to Baylor University in Waco for 2.5 years, I believe it was, 2 years and 2 summers, something like that. And then my brother, my older brother, was registrar at Texas Tech at that time. He had started out there. And I went out to Texas Tech and spent about 2 years there and graduated there. And I got that wrong. I went to Texas Tech first and then to Baylor.
Okay.
And then after graduating there, I went to Baylor Medical School, which at that time was in Dallas, Texas. And I was there 5 years and was still working my way through school, working in the dining room and doing some nursing at night. There's sundry things to get through school, but I got through within the 5 years. And then after that I went to Austin to take state board for that year, and with all of my classmates and the graduates from the other medical schools in Texas and over the United States and a few foreign schools, I made the third highest grade that was made in the state on that examination.
Well,
neat. Always been pretty proud of me.
I can see why. How many doctors did they graduate back then?
Oh, let's see. I think there was about, there must have been, I don't know offhand. I'd have to look it up and see. But I'll look it up for
okay.
you.
Okay. I was just thinking 100
but,
or?
Well, somewhere. As I remember, it was about 80, but I'll look it up to be sure. I don't know.
That.
But they've gone way on up now, more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear something out there, somebody?
No, I just hear a machine cutting
well,
off and on.
That's Sonny's thing there on the other side. And then I went from...
So you graduated in 1933. Okay.
And I went from there to Shreveport Charity Hospital and did 1 year's rotating internship. In other words, we'd take OB 1 month, surgery 1 month, and various things like that,
mm-hmm.
through the whole thing. And I finished there and went to Davao to practice. And Coleman Hill, for the Angelina County Lumber Company.
I'd like to have a copy of that
clipping. I finished the internship in 1934. It was, they got 30 here, but 34. I went to Coal Manila, was there about 6 months for the Angelina County Lumber Company front down there. And then Dr. Jackson was in Diboll at that time. And we had been in school together previously at Decatur Baptist College years and years before. And he heard that I was in Coal Manila and came down and asked me to come up to Diboll with him, which I did. And that was...
So y'all served together to start with then?
Yeah.
Did you serve together?
He was there a little while. Cut this off, man, I'll tell you how.
Okay.
He wouldn't admit it, I'm sure.
Okay.
Where was it? Coal Manila and then moved to Diboll in 35. And I stayed there about 5 years and came up here to Lufkin in 40.
And then did you go right on to the war then when the war broke out, or?
No. Cut it off now, can't do that.
Okay.
And I stayed in Diboll about 5 years. And at first with Dr. Jackson, and he left shortly after I went there, possibly 6 or 8 months. And then after that, a doctor from the Navy, who was in the Naval Reserve, an older doctor, came there, and he lived in Houston, but he'd go to Houston for the weekend, come back up and help me for the week. But his weekends kept getting longer and longer, so he'd leave Saturday night and go down, and supposed to come back Monday morning. He did that once or twice, and then it's Tuesday morning, then Wednesday morning, Thursday, and he got to wear it just 1 or 2 days a week, you know. And I told everybody I was going to tear him up. I was just going to give him a fit, and he got an eye tied that. He came in, said, Doctor, did you think I was going to get back? I said, I sure did. So Miss Graham kept pushing me about what did I tell him, how'd I tear him up. And I told him that. That was a big joke in the town for a month or two there. You know. I tore him up. I sure did. That was funny. But he got the way he just... One time he said, I just came up one day and went back, you know, and paid him full time. So he didn't stay too long. He left. And then Dr. Dale came down there when I left, and I had a chair and desk like this and all, and he wanted to buy that. It's brand new, and he thought he had to have it. Mm-hmm. So I sold it to him and sent the order in, and got this one, same thing back, you know, so it was the same thing. But and he stayed around. I left then and came up here, and he stayed around there for a while. Mm-hmm. And eventually passed on.
Well, wasn't he the last and company doctor as such?
Either he or Dr. Hoot. Dr. Hoot came there shortly after that. Mm-hmm. And he was there for a little while, and I don't know whether he was a company doctor or not. Mm-hmm. On the
Dr. Clements hadn't Dr. Dale been there once before?
Yeah, he'd been
this
there
was
years
the
before.
Second time, yeah.
Several
oh,
years
really?
Before.
Yeah.
Even while I was in medical school, he was
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Now, wasn't there, there was a Dr. Williams there at one time. He roomed there at Ms. Farrington's, and I think, was that before you came or when you were there?
Yeah, I didn't know Williams.
You didn't know no. him? I guess he was ahead of you then.
Yeah, when I was out of town and stuff, Dr. Robert Taylor used to come down.
Yeah,
he'd come
yeah.
out and stay overnight.
Denman Hudson, Robert Taylor.
Denman
yeah,
Hudson,
that's right.
Robert Taylor a little bit. I was there most of the time, as long as I was down there. Mm-hmm. And
had you married by this time?
Yeah, I was married when I came back. I married medical school, last year medical school. Mm-hmm. And Sonny was born when they first went to Diboll, I mean, about a year after we'd been there. And then Suzanne came on a couple of years or so later. We lived in Diabol, but she was delivered in Dallas. They went up to Dallas to deliver and came back because Ebb had worked in the hospital in Dallas as a nurse, you know, and knew all the doctors, and she went back up there to have that one. Mm-hmm. Dr. P.C. Clements delivered Sonny out here at the old hospital.
Okay. I've heard from a lot of people how medicine worked for them. You know, they paid 50 or 75 cents a month and they got free medical care. How did it work from the doctor's point of view?
Well, not very good actually looking back on it, but at the time we didn't care. It went along pretty well as everything was. Of course, Cokes were a nickel in. Mm-hmm. Now they're 50 cents, 75, so that's goes along with the change, I guess. The company paid me, I've forgotten, I wouldn't swear to it, but it seemed to me like it was $175 a month in outside practice. Well, nearly everybody worked for the mill, you see.
So you didn't have much outside?
There wasn't much outside. It turned out that it's quite a bit, but not a whole lot. And
the outside practice, really those people in the rural areas around there, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. And the other thing was they'd pay the people who paid hospital fees. I think it was 50 cents a month. I believe you're right on that, but you better check it. They paid that, each one that worked at the mill, and their families paid 50 cents for them and their family. And we get $10 for OB for them to deliver a baby, but that is $10, you know.
That was extra.
If they paid hospital fees, you see.
Oh,
we could charge
I see.
Them $10 to deliver them. But if they come to the office and tell them house calls, that was in their hospital fee, nothing else.
So most of them elected to have children at home then, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of them.
Did the company furnish medicine, or did people pay for it? I don't remember.
No. Drugstore. Mr. A.G. was the druggist there.
Yeah.
And incidentally, when I went to Diabol over in my office, his daughter, Julia A.G., was my nurse. She came out and worked in the office with me a good while then. And then after she married and moved to Galveston, Ruby Copes was my nurse for the last 2 years, I think.
Were you responsible for paying her, or was the company furnished her, so to speak?
I don't remember, but I'm sure the company paid them. I'm relatively certain they did, because with the salary I was making, I couldn't have paid her.
Okay. So for the $175 a month, you were on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What kind, did you have any days off that and you could call your own at all, or did you, what kind of office hours and things did you hold?
I was just there on call all the time. If they called me and I wasn't there, you couldn't tell them where I was, when I'd be back about, and they'd come back and get me.
Mm-hmm.
It's long, hard hours.
How did the company go about summoning you when there was an accident at the mill?
Well, that's always the office of the house one around there, you know.
Now, don't you remember they had so many whistles if something happened over there and they was calling for help?
My job is to stay in the office, though, and not get over and work and stuff. I have to do the doctoring part of it. They'd get them out and bring them up there. If they needed me over there for something, I did.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Send the runner usually.
Mm-hmm. Did they have phone for you?
Oh yeah.
In your office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess talking to Mr. Daniels, there weren't but four phones at that time.
I don't know whether there's that many or not.
Yeah.
Mr. Walker and Doctor and I don't know who else.
Mr. Walker wasn't listed. That's why
Walker
I was
gone when I was there. See,
pardon?
I was there after Walker died.
Oh yeah.
So,
at one time, about the only phones was in Mr. Walker's office or in the company office. I don't know.
Well, we had a phone in the doctor's office all the time I was there. I didn't know about the others
before
my time.
Okay. Okay, where did you have your office? Can you describe it for
in
me?
In the old long building that's there next to the mill now on the railroad track. The long front porch, the grocery store was downstairs, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And we went upstairs, and I had six or seven big rooms up there, lots of room up mm-hmm. over the grocery store and over the post office. Post office was on that end of it.
Okay.
You remember that? You know the old building.
Yeah, it's still there, mm-hmm. right? That one.
Go upstairs, and the waiting room was right around the stairs. I come up here, and then chairs all around there, and then the doors were the room. Mm-hmm. We had lots of room up there, and we...
Was it segregated, black and white, or...?
No.
It was all together?
All together.
Okay.
They, for a while, when I first went there, for a while, it was routine then that we'd see the white persons first, and the colored ones would come in last. That has been that way, but it didn't stay that way, I guess, a couple of years, maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It just faded into it, and we didn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any beds there? Did you keep anyone overnight or anything like that?
We had two or three beds up there, but we didn't keep patients overnight. If they were sick enough to have to keep them over, we'd send them to the hospital up here.
Mm-hmm. So it was routine to send people here?
More or less. And if they were sick, you know, we had no nursing course or anything that with them. And I'd do tonsils down there. You take out their tonsils there, $25, that is one of my big deals. And now they're $300.
Yeah.
And,
but you wouldn't keep them overnight or anything?
No. They'd get up and go home, 2 or 3 hours. I had one fellow brought a couple of the kids up there. This is kind of a funny thing. Brought a couple of the kids up there one time, had the tonsils out. Oh, I was so proud, you know, and I got him. Took the tonsils out, and they were just doing fine. And I went to the house to eat dinner and came back, and he'd picked them up and taken them home so he wouldn't have to pay. He hadn't paid them yet.
Well, one thing Mr. Temple said in his interview was that he called this socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It was, in a way. It was paying, you know, they
mm-hmm.
just paid you. And he said that people would call whether they really needed you or not.
That's right.
And that sooner or later he felt like a doctor would be rather lax about who they went to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that's part of the reason they cut it out. Do you have a lot of people who called that really just didn't need you?
Oh, yeah. There's... I remember one old lady down there, I don't remember her name, but she'd always sitting out on the front porch and dipping snuff, you know, and she'd rock in that chair, had a cane bottom chair, you know, four-legged.
Mm-hmm.
She'd rock that thing and bump it. She would call me every Sunday of the world, nearly. And I'd go down there and see her, take her blood pressure and talk to her a little bit, give her a pill or something, and go on. Next week, same thing. She'd go all week, you know, and she'd busy. She didn't think anything about it. But sitting around there Sunday and nothing to do, she'd get the rocking out of that snuff, and she'd send the runner to get me to come down and look at it. There wasn't a damn thing wrong. Uh-oh.
We bleep those out. Don't worry. Oh, goodness. What kind of education did your nursing staff have? Was it?
No, they were just country girls that went to work mostly.
Okay, that didn't
happen. They had both worked at the hospital a little while, you know, as filling in nurses, but they'd had no training actually, except what they just picked up taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them had worked at the old county hospital a little bit.
Well, what kind of facilities did Lufkin have in the way of hospital? Was the hospital adequate? Or
well,
did they have some?
Well, that time it was, but it was a far cry from what it is now. In other words, the hospital here, we gave open drop ether, you know, was all the anesthesia we had. And after I moved up here, I bought a anesthetic machine, you know, to give gases and stuff. And I had a graduate nurse working for me then that said she knew anesthesia. But I kept that thing about 2 months, you know, and she'd give the anesthetics, and patients didn't do this with me, you know, she'd get them too deep or something, you know, they wouldn't wake up right. Just little old things, you know, and I saw she was going to get in trouble if I kept it up, so I sold it, sent it back, and several years later, the hospital bought their own machines and put them in. But all we had was drop ether and spinal. They'd give us spinal myself, all of us did, all doctors. Turn them over on the side and give them spinal and go out and wash our hands and go back in and do the operation. The nurse sitting there talking to her. They didn't have any of these big machines as tall as the ceiling and stuff, you know. Of course, it wasn't $800 anesthetic bill either. My mama went to Houston to have her open heart surgery last Thanksgiving. Her anesthetist charged her $800 for putting her to sleep. And they charged them $500, $600, $700. They got to where out here when the anesthetist first came here, or some new ones came here. They had trained nurse anesthetist for a good while, and Dr. Barrett, he was the first anesthetist we had, and they worked under him, and we used them for years with great results. We had a great department. And then they started bringing in anesthetists to take it over, you know. The government got in on it, had to change up, and brought them in, and a few times they were charging more for the anesthesia than the doctor was charging for the surgery. This got clear out of hand. And it's still out of hand.
I started, my daughter had a little surgery just to take a birthmark off this summer. And her anesthetic was more than what the surgeon charged.
Mm-hmm.
Sure was.
It just got clear out of hand. And that's foolish. The government got into that and messed it up. That's not right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of office hours did you hold, per se, where you were actually in the office?
Well, it just kind of depended on how the illness was, you know. If I was up all night delivering a baby, I might be an hour late getting in the office. Mm-hmm. But we usually stayed at the office pretty well while the mill was running, you know. I mean, not night and day, but 12-hour day or so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What, it started about, well, the mill started at 7.
I know.
And that's when you...
7 or 8, we usually be down there.
Mm-hmm. And just until it closed it?
Dr. Clements came to Diabol, that they was probably working 8 to 5. They'd cut out that 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I think it's down to about 8
right.
hours.
Yeah.
But in the, originally, it was 10 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah. Okay, I've forgotten this.
When I was down there as a... in grammar school, well, that's the way it was.
It was 10 hours
yeah.
by this time. Well, after the...
It was 40 hours a week after they put in wage and hour and all
stuff.
That.
We didn't necessarily hold a strict office hour, but we were pretty well down there all day and all that working.
Mm-hmm.
And we had patients in the hospital and maybe run up here at noon and I'll be gone a couple of hours and back. We had surgery, come up here and do that in the morning and stay later in the afternoon. Just did you get through, that's all it was.
I'm sure you don't remember this, but when I was down there, I was coming back from Cypress Lake one night in a truck, and a car had had a terrible accident between the river bridge and Davao.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was with another person, and I took his car and drove up to Davao to get you and carried you down there, and then you phoned Lufkin for an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And you made me go with you to Lufkin and watch him operate. Now, that's the only time I ever saw that in my life. But I went in the operating room with you and held the patient while you operated on his hands and all that. You don't remember that, but I do. It made a distinct impression on me.
He sees it all the time. You
Old Burkhalter, when they got the ambulance down there, he started driving that, you know. I mean, oh, he had... lots of runs with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that a new thing then? What year was that?
I don't remember the year. It's about the middle of the time I was there, I guess.
38,
39,
somewhere in there.
Yeah, I came up here in 40, probably.
You mean the company finally put in an ambulance down there?
Yeah, they got
I didn't
the
know that.
Burkhalter drove it. He can tell you when it was.
Oh, we're going to get him.
We used to get them out of Lufkin, you know. Gibson would have to send one down there.
Gibson had it for a good while. But then the company got one, and Burkhalter was driver.
I didn't know that.
For what reasons would you go to a house where the people couldn't come to?
No.
You know,
the people just, they're paying 50 cents a month for doctor services, and if they want services, they don't want to come, they call you to come there.
Just even if they just didn't feel like coming to the
house? Cold or anything.
Oh, I thought it was maybe if they were just real sick.
No. They call you for any reason. Like the old woman in the chair. Wasn't a damn thing wrong. They're on it's Sunday. She didn't know what to do, so she just called me every Sunday. I had been calling her every Sunday. Long time.
You didn't ask them any excuses. You just made house calls.
Calls and you just went.
That's what they paid for, so I had to do it.
When you came to Lufkin then, was in private practice, you didn't make house calls anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you still made house
calls? Oh, for a long time. I didn't quit that till 2-3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. When would you say doctors quit making house calls? What year?
Oh, 10 years ago would be pretty close to it.
Really? Mm-hmm. That late, huh? Mm-hmm. It was a long time after World War II then.
If they knew somebody or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean,
go
yeah.
See them. Now, just somebody pick up the phone and call you for a drunk or something, they probably wouldn't do it on that.
Yeah.
You just had to use your head like anything else.
How do you think Temple Mill rated as far as safety goes? Did you have a lot of accidents that you had to take care of, or were they?
No, they had good people managing that and looking after it. Of course, in a thing that big, you're going to have a few accidents. You can't help it. And the worst one, I guess, I ever saw was the Sawyer, that was his name. That Saul called him. He got down, that was his fault really. He got down the saw, you know, catalog and sawed over there. Mm-hmm. And he got down the thing picking up something with the thing running, you know. And it shaking, the mill shaking, it tripped it, and that log went and caught him, you know, and put him right in the saw, and it cut him across here and cut a feet. Brought him in the basket. Didn't know what hit him. What's his name?
I don't know.
You know, he came from Pineland.
He came from Pineland?
Sawyer. He's the best Sawyer I've ever had.
Oh, was it Mr. Fogg, by chance?
That's nearly it.
Fogg? F-O-G-G?
You know, that must have happened after I left there. I don't recall that.
That may be it. It's close. You're getting close to it. Yeah. I don't recall.
It wasn't Barley, was it?
No.
No,
Barley never would have gotten down in there. He's always down in that dress suit. He's dressed up like a nigga preacher.
Yeah, I know. He wore a tie just like he's running a
tie and everything,
big business.
You know.
Oh,
he was Sawyer.
What was
known.
He?
Was, he was Sawyer.
He was a Sawyer?
No, he was a Saul Fowler.
Saul Fowler, I mean.
Saul Fowler, and he dressed in his Sunday suit.
Oh, yeah, coat, tie. Oh, you thought he was going to a banquet.
White shirt, everything. Something.
I'll have to check on you. Why did you move to Lufkin? What changed your mind to go into private practice?
Well, it was a possibility of making more money. I worked up a good hospital practice, even from down there. Mm-hmm. I was doing a good hospital practice and it just wasn't remunerative enough to stay there.
Not $75 a month.
I loved the place. I looked that salary up. I'm not sure about that. That's awful little thing for me. But I looked at
that. That sounds about right to me from what everyone else was making.
Then Dr. Joe Birch was up here, and he was doing medicine, you know. Mm-hmm. and several of the older doctors are dying off up here, Dr. Sweatland and Dr. Childers, and he wasn't dead then, but he looked real old. And Dr. Linwood Denman was getting pretty old. So it was getting pretty thin for doctors up here, and I just decided to come up here. Still get a lot of practice from Diabol, you know, even though I was up here.
Well, you didn't go back to Diabol after World War II, did you? After you got out of the Army?
No, I was up here when I went to the Army.
Oh, you'd already in Lufkin when you...
I was up here for a year or so. Yeah, it was 1942 I went to the Army. So
yeah, I
see.
I
was here 2 years before I went to the Army.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts did you live in Diabol? Did the company furnish you a house as well as the manager?
$10 a month.
Oh, yeah.
All your utilities.
You know where the library is?
Mm-hmm.
Across the track there, and where Clyde Thompson lives now.
Yes.
That was Mr. Kinley's house.
There were two houses from where you live.
Yeah. And then the one on the corner was where the timber man lived.
Yeah, he worked for Kinley. What was